up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Monday morning to you. It is SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. If you'd like to hit us up on Twitter, we'd love to hear from you at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Last night's part 3 and 4 of The Last Dance, Michael Jordan, Chicago Bulls documentary. Didn't disappoint. It's still, I was a little worried that we're going to get into a lull a little bit. This is a 10-part series. There is still a lot of good content. But, you know, it's still 10 parts and 10 hours that they're filling in. And I know it's probably a runtime of about 50 minutes, you know, whatever their agreement to do for the commercials per every hour. A lot of good content, but you feel like, all right, at some point we're going to reach a little bit of a lull, maybe some filler trying to extend this. But so far, 4 episodes in, it's been eye-opening and an important piece for the legacy of the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan, which I know really this is all about. You know, this is a way to put into some easy, digestible content for those individuals, for that generation that did not grow up watching Jordan and the Bulls and the domination that they had in the 90s and how they got to that point in the first place. There is a montage of a video that occurs in the 3rd episode where the song Party Man, they use the Party Man song to show highlights of Jordan. It's probably one of the best collection of Jordan highlights that you'll find, and there are plenty of places to find great montages of Jordan highlights. But again, it's one of those pieces where, again, you imagine if you're 18, 20 years old, you've never seen Jordan play or being in the moment of watching Jordan and the Bulls play. You know the history, you've seen YouTube videos, you've seen highlights on TV, you've heard your father or grandfather talk about it. This is a real way to get the complete story. It continued last night in how the Bulls were putting pieces together. And every great team needs an obstacle. Every great team needs something to overcome. They had that with the Pistons. And this was a interesting way that they followed the Pistons, were beaten by the Pistons, dominated by the Pistons, and then found a way to beat the Pistons. A really good look into that. So we're going to get more into that later on in this week. More on the NFL draft. Vinny Iyer is going to join us from Sporting News coming up this hour. The grades of the draft are in. How much of importance are they? We'll continue along on a Monday. It's SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us again. Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. All right, NFL draft in the books. Vinny Iyer is joining us from Sporting News. That's coming up in about 30 minutes. Don't want to miss that. Giving us the winners and losers of the draft weekend. Last hour, we were kind of having fun with the Tom Brady breaking into a house story.
Yeah.
And then I like the way I just put that to make him out to be some arch criminal of the Tampa Bay area.
Like, oh, it gets
be
better.
On the lookout for this man. So then you said you had another Tom Brady angle to that. So
well,
I
have an addition.
Oh, addition.
To
I
it,
love it.
To
okay.
this character that Tom Brady is becoming.
All right. I love it.
The mayor of Tampa, Jane Castor, has an official letter welcoming Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski to the greatest city in the world.
All right.
And now I'm saying, when I say official, I mean, this is an official letter, like one of those that you would frame.
Is this like,
yes,
we are announcing that kind of thing?
Hear ye, hear ye.
Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski welcome you to Tampa.
But here's where it is. In the letter, she apologizes to Brady for the miscommunication they had last week.
How awesome is this?
Tom, my apologies for the miscommunication when you arrived. Not the best first impression. But given my law enforcement background, I couldn't help but have someone investigate the goat running wild in one of our beautiful city parks.
Aww.
No harm, no foul, and thanks for being a good sport.
You know what? I helped. I'm glad that there are so many citizens of Tampa who are like, I would have gotten the same letter if I was in a park.
Of course you would have.
Working out. that the mayor would have said, oh, I'm sorry, Mr. You know, Mr. Factory Worker or Mr. Restaurant Manager for going out and trying to get some exercise. How dare I?
Yes.
Wonderful.
I mean, this is awesome. You know, Tom and Giselle donated a bunch of meals to the city of Tampa. I think, you know, they would have done that anyways.
Is this this breaking into this house, like going to Byron Leftwich's house? I'm sure. I just love this story.
You want to just keep saying it over and over again.
I just want to say it over and over again because
was this a common thing in New England, by the way? We just never heard about it.
Yeah. Did he,
Boston has Boston's back.
Did he frequently forget where Josh McDaniels lived on trips around the Brookline area, wherever the heck that team was planted? Going to Byron Leftwich's house, though, look, if I'm an NFL team, I'm not worried about, he went in the wrong house, big deal. Does going into Byron Leftwich's house, doesn't that break an agreement that the whole league has that we're not going to be meeting with our offensive coordinators and we're not going to go to their houses and talk about things? Like, we're all in our, we're going to Zoom meet, but we're not going to visit. Does the league have a point here? Do the other teams have a point? That he wasn't just violating some stay-home order, which is more of a legal thing within the city, but the general rule of the NFL, which is we're not doing any workouts. I don't care where you live, and I don't care what the rules are in your state. We're all under the same rule. If Colorado says you can go out and play, it doesn't mean Indiana can. It doesn't mean New York can. So we're all under the same agreement. We're not going to be visiting each other. We're not going to these houses and going over film or anything like that. You're staying away from your coaches and teammates. So do they have some weight in their argument to the NFL? Like if you're the Atlanta Falcons, do you go, hey, wait a minute, what are you talking about? He went to the offensive coordinator's house. What are you talking about? He was on his way over there. Like, he's not even supposed to be over there. So I don't know. Just a way, I guess, the NFL can log another complaint in the Tom Brady legacy. It went to Byron Leftwich's house and mistook it.
I know.
Walked right in. See, now that's
so
that's
surreal. I love this one article I was reading. It's like Tom Brady walks, the stranger walks into his house carrying a duffel bag. Anytime you've seen that in a movie, what comes next?
Right. Well, that's the other thing, too. So, if I want to be a stickler for the rules and I'm on the name a team and I call the NFL and I'm like, look, it's not even so much that he went over to Byron Leftwich's house. It's that he just walked in because Byron Leftwich was expecting him to be there.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing if Brady on his own goes to Byron Leftwich's house and Leftwich is like, whoa, what are you doing here? Whoa, what are you doing here? You can't be here. The rules are we can't meet in person. Stay home. Go back to Jeter's house and stay there. Look, we'll talk on the phone. We'll talk on Zoom, whatever you want to do, but you can't be here. But the reality was Brady felt so comfortable with his visit, and apparently Byron Leftwich felt so comfortable with his visit that he was like, just walk in when you get there. Don't worry about it. Door's open. Just walk in. What are the odds that two neighbors had the door open at the exact same time?
During a pandemic, by the way.
Yeah. I, by the way, live in a cul-de-sac. I guarantee you my neighbor's doors are locked. Right? I guarantee you.
Well, you know what? I mean, my aunt and uncle forever left their front door unlocked.
Sure. Did their neighbors do the exact same thing?
I don't know about the neighbors. I never walked into their house.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is it odd that if Byron Leftwich said, don't just go to the door, door's open, let's just make yourself at home, I'll be there in a minute. Okay, he goes to a house, the door is open, he walks in. But it's the wrong house. The neighbor also had the door unlocked that allowed him to walk. It's one thing for Leftwich to go, I left the door unlocked, walk in. What the neighbor is also like, we're home and we left it unlocked. And you walked in. So I think this story's great. I think Brady should explain himself to this. Oh, I'm sorry, were we under quarantine? I didn't realize that. What are we talking about quarantine? What are we quarantining from?
Yeah.
So
it's nice and sunny out. I got to get outside. I got to get to the park.
COVID-19?
I mean, how many times did he go to a park in Boston?
I don't know.
Does anyone have any idea? Did he go and throw some balls at Boston Common?
Yeah, did he just run down to the local field? Or did he just boogie his way to the complex?
Yeah, and then I would like to know how many times did he walk into Josh Daniels' house?
Yeah, just walk the door, on in. Walked on in.
Did he call? Did he tell Byron ahead of time? Hey, this is how I do.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I need you to just make your home available to me because I'm going to come in. We're just going to talk plays.
I did see this.
We're
going
to get to work.
I saw this video that Tom is doing about how he's saying jokes about the incident and whatnot, and that's apparently now he's I would assume is doing this video from Jeter's house.
Well,
now,
is
Jeter okay with these videos from inside the abode?
Man,
is Jeter like, hey, yeah, that's really awesome that you want to do these videos where you're thanking the fans and hey, look at me, I'm sorry I was at a park during quarantine, but remember those videos are in my place and I don't want people looking into my place, so cut it out.
Last week, I had brought up the NFL Draftathon that Rich Eisen was hosting, where all these different celebrities appeared.
Yeah,
and there's a moment where I highlighted that Tom Brady and Russ Wilson got into it. You know, just having fun with each other.
Sure.
And Kevin Hart is in there, and a bunch of other celebrities. Russell Wilson points out that there's a zebra printed chair in the back, like a chaise in the back.
Oh, that's right.
And just is making fun of him. I'm thinking that might be Jeter's.
I think it probably is Jeter's.
Does Jeter feel okay that people are making fun of his furniture taste?
See, that's what I'm wondering.
Maybe that's, I don't think Jeter wants that to be public knowledge.
This is what I would do if I was Derek Jeter. I'd be like, look, there's obviously a lot of curiosity about what my house looks like. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take 5 golden tickets and put them in candy bars and scatter them around the world. And if you were lucky enough to land one of these Jeter tickets, you're going to get a tour of the chateau with you and your sick grandfather that's stuck on a bed forever and ever. You'll get to come in.
But does he get to win it?
That's what I would do.
Does he have the chance of winning it? That's what we want to know. We want to know if he has a chance to win it.
That's right. At the end of it all, one lucky child will get to own the chateau.
But obviously, you're going to have to go to a park and use that playground because we don't have room here.
That's right.
There's a big canal. Can't really swim in. Alligators. Motorboats. Right. So that's not going to be fun. I do have a pool.
That's
so you can't swim in the pool.
Please.
But there's a... If you're wanting to have a backyard football game, you can't.
You can't. So that's what I would just do it. I would say I'm awarding 5 lucky people a chance to see my chateau. That's it. That's it. And Tom, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send you a Players Tribune or a Marlins or a whatever Turn 2 charity. We're going to get you a screen. You do your videos in front of that screen. No more bathroom shots, bedroom shots, zebra furniture shots. No more.
Better yet, just do your videos in some random dude's house.
That's right. Exactly. That's a good other one.
Just allow yourself in, walk in, sit down on their couch, and shoot your video there.
Exactly. That's what I would say. Like, why don't you just walk into the neighbor's house, shoot your video, and then go back to my place. But no more filming from inside the palace.
You know, and mix it up. You don't have to go to the same neighbor's house.
No, just learn who's your neighbors are, right?
That's how I learn who my neighbors are. You know, when I first moved into our neighborhood, the first thing I did was go door to door and just see which one was open, and I could go inside and take a look.
Wouldn't it be great if Brady and Giselle had people over for a barbecue and stuff like that? Just be like inviting all the neighbors. Hey, we're new in town. Come on over. It's BYOB, but that's all you have to do. Bring it on. We got the potato salad. We got the burgers. We got the hot dogs. Come on over. We want to introduce ourselves. Working for the local football team. Really excited to be here. That'd be great. People are like, Jared Jeter was never this nice. God.
That is like, hey, you know what? Did you see that? They didn't check the phone at the door.
That's right. No.
They're allowing you to walk around with your phone. We're going to take some photos.
Giselle's like, let me get that for you.
Could Jeter evict him for that?
Sure. That's probably the break of the lease.
Probably in the lease, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, Tom Brady has a party and Jeter finds out about it because of pictures of his house. He goes, the basket's there.
That's right.
We never moved the basket. The basket is always there. I had it built in to the house, so you knew that there was a basket.
That's the difference between, many differences between me and Jeter. But if I was wealthy enough to own that house, I'd be showing it off and humble bragging it every possible second.
Of course.
If I was able to create that kind of place, I would be dropping it in every single conversation. about how awesome my house is. Jeter doesn't want you to see it. Trust me, folks, if I ever get to that level, it'll be so part of my profile, you'd be sick of it.
How much is rent? Rent's, what, $40,000 a month or something?
Yeah, that's great. The Bradys.
Absurd.
Unbelievable. All right, Vinny Iyer is going to join us. Sporting news that's coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the draft, the completion of all seven rounds, as Tony D, Ron Culver continue on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop, so don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. And if your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Vinny Iyer will join us Sporting News. We'll talk to him about the draft, his thoughts on the winners and losers of the draft, because you know what? That's what 3 days of the draft is going to get you, is the immediacy of who did well, who didn't do well. But as anything in any draft, the proof comes years later when you revisit that and go, oh, you know what? That wasn't a bad pick after all. That Patrick Mahomes guy did work out for Kansas City. Whoops. Sorry, I gave you a C+ for that, but apparently that did work out for you. Or, wow, I gave the Raiders an A+ for Jamarcus Russell. I didn't think that worked out as well as they thought it was going to work. So we all have our immediacy. And listen, those are important too. Because, look, we can all go, let's wait to see it out all plays out. But that's putting some people off the hook. That's taking these teams immediately off the hook. If you're the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love leads you to a Super Bowl, then we'll look back on 2020 and go, yep, they saw a great quarterback. They saw a superstar. We kind of hit them because they had Aaron Rodgers and needed weapons, and it didn't make any sense at the time. But here we are in 2025, and Super Bowl 57 or 58 was won by the Packers with Jordan Love at quarterback. That was a brilliant selection. But today, it is okay to say the Green Bay Packers didn't do a good job. It is okay to say we don't know what they were thinking, because a 13-3 team went with a quarterback in the first round and picked up guys that they didn't really need. I mean, they may be good players. They may be better options, but they don't really need them. You know, there were other areas that they needed more importantly, but they went with these players because they think in the future these are going to be the cornerstones to keep their organization competing for Super Bowls for year in and year out. But it's okay in 2020 to say this doesn't make any sense. You know, we look at the Patrick Mahomes example a lot, and I think it's a kind of a cautionary tale of draft grades. That was not a well-received draft by just about anybody, right, who evaluate this for a living. People thought Kansas City overreached by taking Patrick Mahomes. But as you know the story, they saw something in the film and realized they could get him because other teams weren't seeing what they saw in the film. And that's why they moved up to get him, because they were like, look, we don't think this is something other teams will figure out. We don't want to take a chance. Let's get him and let's see what happens. And his story is one of the bright stories of being drafted in the NFL, right? Not a high upside, gets into the league, gets to start his second year in, leads him to the AFC Championship game, third year in, he's Super Bowl champion. All right. Now, obviously, that doesn't happen to everybody, but it is a cautionary. Christian McCaffrey wasn't a big home run pick for a lot of people. Now he's a superstar in this league. And there were many people who were going to be superstars that didn't work out, right? That you thought, hey, they got some potential here. They can play. They got size. They got arm strength, or they got speed, whatever it may be. And for whatever reason, their circumstances didn't allow them to grow with that particular organization or with that particular team. It's one of the reasons why you have to be cautious of first-round quarterback picks, number one picks overall, because they aren't exactly going to a team that is built to win around them. So they have to put so much burden on themselves. But again, you look around. They may not have a good offensive line to protect them enough. They may not have weapons around them that could take the burden off their shoulders. They are young. It's another elevated level of play. Some obviously work, and a lot don't work. right? And if, you know, Joe Burrow is being thrown into an organization that may need a lot of help in a lot of areas. But on the same spectrum of it, quarterbacks that get drafted later into organizations that are built to win, where there's a little bit of a buffer, a learning curve, if you will, they're not required to go out and change the world immediately, and they do have there's a team around them that they can be successful with, then you start seeing like, wow, there's an environment to grow. There's an environment to really learn the right way to develop your skills into the NFL rather than getting thrown into the Lions and expected to do great things right away. You know, Lamar Jackson was not drafted to be the Ravens starting quarterback the second he arrived with the team. He was expected to be the backup to Joe Flacco, maybe eventually the replacement to Joe Flacco when the time was right. The time probably came sooner than Baltimore thought, but it worked out tremendously for both. But he was in an organization that was, one, built to win, had a strong organization around him, a strong team around him, and he was able to go into a system where he didn't have to be the only thing that was working. Right? Baker Mayfield, unfortunately, was going to an organization at the time on the Browns where they were just constantly they had talent, sure they did, but it was constantly overturning a coach that couldn't stay there for longer than 10 seconds. Right? So he was going to an organization that couldn't really build, had any building block for success, because even when they drafted smart guys, they were changing the coaching staff every 3 minutes. So he was going to an organization that didn't have any solid work. And that doesn't mean he can't build that, but after a while, that does wear on an organization. So again, draft grades today are relevant. They're important because it's how we're going to see this team right away, right? Immediately, 2020, 2021. This is when you're going to start seeing whether or not these players are going to pan out or not. Maybe some don't get initial work right away. Maybe some are thrown right into a starting position and have to contribute. But 4 years from now, 3 years from now, maybe five, if you want to go a little bit longer, that's when we'll be able to step back and go, yeah, my team did a great job here. All of these guys worked out, or they worked out for other teams and we were able to get some trade value because it wasn't good here, but it did work out that we got two picks or whatever it was. That's okay. But to dismiss people's evaluation of what teams did in the immediate aftermath of the draft, because we're not sure, I think these are important. Look, the Cowboys, for example, I think had a really, really good draft. And again, we'll talk to Vinny Iyer about this, get his take on the Cowboys and many other teams. I think the Cowboys did a great job in this draft. Does that mean I see the Cowboys in the Super Bowl in 2 years? No, it doesn't. But it doesn't mean I don't think they did a good job. They did a good job, right? Now we'll see whether these players are going to work out or not. But hindsight's always 20/20. We can always look back and go, yeah, you know what? You should have known this guy wasn't going to work out 3 years into his NFL career. Today, CeeDee Lamb is an outstanding selection because he wasn't supposed to be there at 17. It's an outstanding selection because he's one of the top wide receivers in a wide receiver rich class. Cowboys absolutely should have ran to get him when he fell into their lap at 17. Can I predict right now that CeeDee Lamb is going to be a Pro Bowl superstar wide receiver? No, I can't. I don't know how injuries are going to affect him. I don't know if what his work ethic will be like once he starts making money. You'd like to think he's on that track because he has all the skills, but you're not 100% sure. So what am I supposed to do with that pick? Say, I don't know, or say Dallas did the right thing. Of course Dallas did the right thing. It's the same thing with Jordan Love, as we were saying earlier. Jordan Love, Super Bowl champion in 2025? Maybe. Super Bowl participant 3 years down the road, filling in for Aaron Rodgers? Maybe. Complete first-round bust? Maybe. In 2020, days after that pick, we can say, no, I don't agree with it. I don't think it was the right move. I don't think you take a 13-3 team that needs some defensive additions and give them a backup quarterback that's not expected to play for years to come. I don't think you do that with the first pick, your first pick in the first round of the draft as an organization. I don't think you do that. If it pans out, it pans out. But in 2020, here on April 27th, it's a whiff. It needs explaining why you would do that to Aaron Rodgers and a 13-3 football team. Vinny Iyer next.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call here on a Monday post-draft analysis. Vinny Eiler joins us from the Sporting News on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Vinny, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Just recovering, so to speak, from the 3 days I were and then the extra day after. So good draft overall. I think it was run pretty well, and the teams, for the most part, did pretty well.
Yeah, let's before we get to the individual teams, overall, the production value, the way the picks were delivered, the way the fans got to see the guys in their homes. Did you like this? I mean, look, it is what it is because of the circumstances, but did you think it was executed well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a person who doesn't like all the chatter and noise and people yelling at you at a desk and wanting to give you everything you can immediately and talk over and too many things that are going on. I just want to see the simple picks and get to that, see how these teams are set up. I think you even see some comments, including the general manager of the Lions, Bob Quinn, saying they kind of like this. They didn't have to grind away and do the things they usually do. They're well prepared. They could spend more time in their family. It looked like people were actually having fun while making these picks with people around them in their comfortable home environments wherever they were. So maybe this is a trend. Maybe they'll do a half version of this. Maybe this will be day two and day three will go down like this consistently, and maybe just do the first round like we've known traditionally, and maybe not try to necessarily pack it in with too many fans and pomp and circumstance.
All right, Vinny, there are some questions on this draft in terms of who won and who lost, but there is still a buzz about the Green Bay Packers going Jordan Love in round one on Thursday night. What do you make about it? It's been a lot of discussion about what this actually means for Aaron Rodgers, what it means for the organization forward. Did you like the pick? How did you evaluate that selection?
Well, I didn't like it for this reason, is that I think when you're grading a draft this early, you're looking at a couple things. You're looking at how do we rate these particular players that these teams draft going in and from what we know. Next thing you say, how does a team address their needs for certain positions for short and long term? And the last thing you ask is, what kind of team is this? That's an important question. Are you a team trying to win the Super Bowl now? Do you have a window that you're trying to get impact players? Well, the 49ers answer that question. They got replacements for the veterans they lost immediately in the first round. The Packers in the first round, however, get a stash quarterback who may not even see the field, period. I mean, I don't know what they feel about Aaron Rodgers, but the whole point is their offseason from 2019 was loading up their defense, getting a running game, getting a coach there to all help Aaron Rodgers win another Super Bowl. And now they go totally against that. They don't get a wide receiver, which totally threw off all the Packers fans here. That was their need here. They really needed that complimentary receiver. They've had a mess at that position here beyond Devontae Adams for a while. So they didn't get that. They didn't really look at potentially upgrading at right tackle. I'm losing Brian Bulaga. They have to worry about David Bakhtiari as well. That's a more immediate need on the offense there at left tackle in 2021. So they kind of looked to 2023 possibly with their draft pick, and that makes no sense for a team that was 13-3 and is trying to win the Super Bowl.
You brought up the 49ers. It kind of leads me into my next question. It's one thing to look at teams that have struggled, have bad records, and they're in the rebuilding process and they need personnel to help them. But it's another to watch a team that was successful, whether it's a Super Bowl appearance or a championship title game, whatever, to see if they got better. The Niners are on that list. What other teams that were successful in 2019 did you feel got better or really made a move in the draft to stay good?
Well, I think the Minnesota Vikings, certainly. I mean, look at their cap issues. They basically had to keep Anthony Harris at safety, and then it cost them Xavier Rhodes, Trey Waynes, Linval Joseph, Everson Griffin, all these people that we've seen in their defense for a long time. All those guys had to go here. Then that includes the Stephon Diggs trade. What do they do? Get a nice replacement for Diggs and Justin Jefferson. They get a couple corners that really fit the zone scheme of Mike Zimmer and Jeff Gladney and Cameron Dantzler. They really load up on their defensive line depth here with a lot of young bodies there. And Mike Zimmer, if you look at his past drafts, loves that defensive depth of the front seven. He's kind of obsessed with it. So that's why they've always been good defensively in those areas. So I like them. I like the Baltimore Ravens. We just take in all the picks that come sometimes. I mean, J.K. Dobbins, they probably didn't expect him to be there. But you're the number one rushing team in the NFL. You get an elite running back. You really can't question that. They added more speed to their offense as well with Devin Duvernay. Just value after value pick. And I think the top of the heap there, I know they didn't win the division quite the way they wanted, but the Cowboys, I mean, just to get players like CeeDee Lamb and Neville Gallimore, Tyler Biotic, Bradley Anae, these guys should have been going a lot earlier than they went. I think Trayvon Diggs absolutely could be a steal for them. So I just love teams like that that say, we're just going to get the best players. We know if we have a pretty good team, we're not going to be desperate and draft like that from a position of power.
The Denver Broncos now have a very young-looking offense, starting with quarterback in the second year with Drew Lock, and now adding some more offensive pieces. Is that a little work in progress? Do you think those guys can impact right away?
Well, it kind of head scratching to me that they went so far with their offense in this draft, and they kind of had their priorities a little messed up here because they didn't think about their defense. I think their defense needs a lot of addressing here. I mean, Von Miller and Bradley Chubb are kind of what's kind of the lifeblood of that defense in the pass rush, but your inside linebacker core needs a lot of help. A.J. Bouye, I don't think, was a great answer at corner after losing Chris Harris. So I think there's a lot of suspect things about their defense. They lose Derek Wolfe and only replace with Jarrell Casey, who's a fading player. So they went all in on offense. And I thought Deshaun Hamilton was fine, another Penn State receiver in the slot, but they go out and get another slot receiver there in K.J. Hamler. They go get Albert O. from Missouri as another receiving tight end after they had Noah Fant in last year's draft. So I didn't get all those moves, and really it kind of started when they added Melvin Gordon, and he had a pretty good combination with Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. So they're expecting a lot out of Drew Lock to really maximize these weapons. Well, this could be overwhelming. New offense with Pat Shurmur trying to get all these guys involved may not work out as well as they want, especially with a lot of defensive issues that are still going to exist when they face Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Vinny Iyer joins us, Sporting News. We talk NFL draft after it concluded over the weekend. What did you make of the Jalen Hurts trade to Philadelphia? Oh, the pick to Philadelphia.
I didn't like it either. Again, a team that's trying to win now, I mean, you pass up on a lot of other values that could have helped. I know at that stage in the draft, you're looking for maybe a little bit of the future, but that also tells you that they're seriously concerned about the health of Carson Wentz, that they want to have a contingency plan for anything that would go wrong with him in the future. And I don't necessarily want that. I mean, I have a high quarterback that I'm going to trust when he's healthy to win a lot of games for us. But I don't know if Jalen Hurts turning to him, I don't think he's going to just recreate the magic of Nick Foles being the super sub that they're looking for. So Jalen Hurts is a good project pick for them, sure. I think he could develop well for Doug Peterson, sure, but I don't think he helps him win now, obviously. I think it's probably disappointing for Jalen Hurts, given that he has really no shot unless Wentz goes down with injury to compete or develop into a starting quarterback in the NFL. So from his perspective, it wasn't that great. And the Eagles, they just weren't on my radar as a team that would look at him either as a backup or a starter. And I think that's what made it a really frustrating pick that early in the draft.
I know there's a little bit more complication to it, given finances, et cetera, but would it have made sense if the Eagles were really looking for a backup quarterback? I mean, Cam Newton's available. They could have made a run for Jameis Winston. Andy Dalton is likely to be kicking around. Would it have made sense to go on that route rather than go pick the guy from the draft?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you see what the Saints did, and the Saints were pretty clever about this, right? They didn't draft a quarterback. Maybe they didn't love all the quarterbacks in this draft. I think that was an indication as we got closer to the first round, the news coming out of New Orleans. And what do? They take a flyer on Jameis Winston, get him really cheap here. I mean, now they have a couple options. I don't know if Taysom Hill is really the guy they're going to convert a quarterback, but give them options. Look at Winston, what he can do, potentially do a Brees replacement and go in that direction. But I think overall, when you look at it, I mean, Cam Newton should be on a team right now. If Jameis Winston is getting a bargain deal to be behind Drew Brees for 1 year, I mean, Cam Newton can't be worth all that much right now. And look at Cam Newton, big arm, mobile, moves around. He would be an ideal backup to Carson Wentz and a good landing spot. But, yeah, head-scratcher to go the rookie route, especially when you're a team that around the quarterback is ready to win the Super Bowl now.
Vinny, who did not do very well in this draft? I mean, depending on how you evaluated what they needed and who they got, who comes out of this not looking all that great?
Well, I mentioned the Broncos were kind of influenced by what the Chiefs were doing. I think the Raiders struggled in this one as well. I think they got a little too cute at times in this draft. And I like Henry Ruggs III. I think he's going to be a good fit, and he's going to help them stretch the field. But I didn't understand the Lynn Bowden pick. He's a hybrid running back wide receiver. I know they want to get some playmakers on the field, but I don't know how he quite fits with them catching passes. And you look at their quarterback situation, you have a quarterback in Derek Carr and in Marcus Mariota who are more short to intermediate passers. Henry Ruggs is a guy that's going to stretch the field. So are they going to frustrate Henry Ruggs by not getting the ball downfield to him? And then you look at Damon Arnett. He's not a very speedy corner, and they are going to put him on the outside. I think that's a mistake. I think he's more of a nickel player and should not have gone in the first round, that's for sure. And then you look a little later. I just didn't like the way they approached this draft. Tanner Muse, I didn't think he adds too much to their defense. He's kind of a linebacker-safety hybrid. They invested well in free agency. He got a lot of speed there. Corey Littleton, Dick Kowitowski. Last year, Jonathan Abram pick was good as well, but I just felt they reached a little bit, trying to go a little too nuts with their Clemson love here in this draft, and maybe missed out on some greater values that really could have pushed them after a great 2019 offseason into real playoff contention here in 2020.
Final question for you, Vinny, and this is more kind of your perception of all of this, given the coronavirus and the way the NFL has had to do business. There was a lot of conversation going into this draft that this was going to be a lot of pressure on GMs and scouts because they didn't get to do some other things that they normally would have done from combine leading up to the draft. Did you sense that there was some cautious drafting? Was there overreach? Was there underreach? Just given an idea of the way you saw these players and the way they were picked, overall view, was that a factor in the way we evaluate the 2020 draft?
Absolutely. I think there were some teams that panicked and said, okay, we don't know about this guy's health. And I mentioned that Tyler Biadasz going to the Cowboys. There were some questions about his health. But he's a guy that you look at him, Wisconsin interior offensive lineman, is probably one of the safest picks you can make in most drafts from now to the end of time. So when you think about that, I mean, I think that's what hurt some of these people, the teams like Bryce Hall was another player that fell to the Jets. I thought he has starting potential. It's healthy. They were concerned about his ankle from Virginia. So those type of players consistently dropped. Maybe the people that they couldn't evaluate in terms of speed, questionable with some receivers that teams didn't get a good look at. You saw a lot of big possession type receivers going later. So it just what they were exposed to, and really a lot of the drafting was based on college tape that they already assembled. And then a lot of the not drafting was based on any bit of concerns. They didn't have the chance maybe to vet and do their proper research to maybe overcome that and still make the pick.
Vinny, great stuff. Really appreciate your time on a busy morning for you, I'm sure, with all the analysis. I really appreciate it, my friend.
All right, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
You too. Vinny Iyer again on a Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right, we'll talk about some of the things he mentioned, including whether or not this was a draft where teams did get a little too cautious given information. That's next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, Explanation Radio. Brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Vinny Iyer apparently did that in a bird sanctuary. Did you have any nice chirping in the background?
It was relaxing.
Very relaxing.
I was getting ready to snooze there for a little bit. Just had my eyes closed.
Sounds.
Yeah, either he was in a bird sanctuary or has one of those speakers.
Yeah, exactly. Or it was one of those, like, you can now take that and make it more of a meditation tape.
Yes.
It's like, sit back. I'm going to talk about the Packers drafting Jordan Love.
Stays in your brain a lot longer.
Tweet, 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 tweet. Dallas had a very good draft as CeeDee Lamb landed in their lap at 17. Tweet, 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 tweet. That was great. I like it when our guests go out to the patio and the sounds of nature verberate through the phone.
But I couldn't tell if he went out to the patio or if he was out for just for a morning walk.
Maybe he was out to a park. Maybe he was like, I'm getting out of the house.
Maybe. So pulling the old Tom Brady?
That's right. Walking around in his location.
I'll reach back to him. Say, hey, did you pull a Brady?
That's right.
Are you walking into a neighbor's house right now?
I'm very curious. I wonder when we'll be able to really – when will GMs and scouts really be able to talk about the 2020 draft? A couple of years from now? When they go, guys, you don't even know how hard it was. You think we just take the combine and college tape and that's what we do? Those visits are extremely important. You don't even begin to understand what those workouts, those personal workouts do. And we didn't have any of them.
I'm hoping for this, because if this quarantine lasts as long as we all fear that it's going to,
yeah,
I hope ESPN was filming or maybe can do a documentary on this year's draft.
I do too.
I would
really
love
curious.
A behind the scenes.
I would love. I mean, seriously, like the because there was a buzz. Remember we were talking about Jake Fromm earlier?
Yes.
Right. So Fromm had a terrible combine. He was atrocious. He was atrocious at the combine. So here's the deal. He leaves Georgia early. He's undersized. He doesn't have a good arm, but he's a smart quarterback. He goes to the combine. He's going to showcase his skills. Falls apart, right? But he can't make up for that. So now he's left school early. He had an atrocious combine, and there are no pro day workouts, personal visits. He can't do anything else. All he has is, whoopsie-daisy, I screwed up in Indianapolis, and that's all he's got. That's just one of many examples I think you might have saw in the draft in 2020. It's kind of too bad.